All right, good morning, everybody. We are starting a new parak. And this is Daf Shavua, sponsored this week. And each week of the Masechta by YitzYCPA, shake things up a bit this tax season. And finally, for the first time, this whole Masechta, we start today actually making sense out of this cryptic slogan. And sponsored also by Bagel Munch, in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. Well, I know a new parak. We are switching gears. We are no longer dealing with sukkah. We're dealing with dalet minim. Mishnah says, "Lulav hagazel v'hayavesh pasul." The dalet minim, the mishnayos are going to go, deal with each one of the minim individually. So it starts with lulav. Lulav hagazul v'hayavesh pasul. If it's stolen or if it's dried out, it's pasul. And the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on today's daf talking about the psul of gazul, of stolen lulav. Shall asher v'shalir hanidachas pasul? Why is yavesh pasul? Rashi says yavesh is pasul because it's not nice. It doesn't look nice. And the reason why it's pasul if it doesn't look nice because zeh keli v'anvehu. That's what everybody wonders. What is Rashi talking about? That's not why. It's supposed to be because of priyetz hadar. And has to look nice. And all the dalet minim have to look nice. So anyway, shall asherah v'shal ir hanidachas pasul. Asherah represents some kind of a tree of avodah zarah. So it means that if it's an avodah zarah tree for the lulav, it's pasul. And if it's from an ir hanidachas, it's pasul. What's the psul of asherah? The Gemara is going to say what the psul is. And it turns out that it's really limited. It's a limited psul. So regular avodah zara, according to the way the Gemara talks about it, regular avodah zara actually would be kosher. You get to that in a couple of dafim later. Michelle irhani dachas. That means all of the property in the irhani dachas, all the things in the irhani dachas have to be burnt up. And because it has to be all burnt up, so that's why the dalet minim from an irhani dachas would be psul. Why? What's the psul? So Rashi tells you a whole explanation over here that says, because it has to be burnt up, there's a mitzvah of sreifa. So we have a principle that anything that has to be burnt up, we view it as if it's already been disintegrated, and because it's already been disintegrated, it doesn't have the minimum shear. That's the logic that the Gemara has, that Rashi quotes over here, for the lulav shel ir hanidachas. Niktam Rosho. So now we get into things that are specific to the actual structure of the lulav itself. these are the things of interest. When we look at the Dalet Minim and inspect it, what are we inspecting? So it says here, Niktam Rosho, if the top of the lulav, the point, is broken off, which could easily happen, any number of reasons. Or Nifritzu Alav. Or if the leaves are broken off of the shedra of the lulav, so then pasul, that's a psul. Now presumably pasul means that you can't use it, and if you used it, it wouldn't count. It's even pasul b'dieved. In other words, not just that you're not supposed to use it, but it wouldn't even count. Nifridu alav kasher. But if all you get is that the leaves are a little starting to separate on the top, so then that's kasher. That's the way lulavim grow. Just this year, for the first time, I was spending a lot of time watching, videos about how the lulavim grow and how they cut them down and what they're like. And so on the top of the palm tree, you get out of the kind of the middle of the palm tree, you get these things grow up straight like that for a little while. And then if you can cut it off just at the right time, so then you get a lulav. If you wait just a little too long, so then it starts, opening up. And then you get, the familiar date palm type thing. But while it's still, growing, so it grows up as a packed bundle of leaves like that. And so you can get many. And it takes, I think that it takes, 4 months or something. No, it's one a month. It's one a month. You can get a lulav one per month out of a palm tree. No, then the next month you get the next, it grows more, yeah. No, one a month in the growing season.
How many leaves, basically? A lulav is part of the leaves. How many leaves come out of one tree? That's what he's asking.
But they grow as a single, bundle, and then you cut them off just at the right time, and then you get your lulav. And then if you give it another month, you start seeing another one is going to grow up there, and it grows, a couple inches a day or whatever. And then until you get to, until it gets about a month or so, and then you cut the next one off.
So palm trees that are harvested in Lulav and are not flowering palm trees, like they're not?
They are. I think they might be. They might be, yeah. I mean, you're getting, well, I don't know. Anyway, watch it, look at it on the YouTube.
After Sukkos, anything else that grows into a tree. It's only like the first, I guess, 3 months before the holiday that they're being cut off. Afterwards, the rest of the year, they grow up.
Right, maybe, unless it's really specifically going to be for Lulavim, in which case they do whatever it takes to make them most,
out of the tree.
Lucrative for Lulavim. But I don't know. So anyway, so that's what I'm saying is that it if you just wait a little too long, then the leaves will tend to separate on the top, and then you get nifra do all of it. It's kasher. That would be kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yoga Denim Elamala. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, forget about that. It's kasher. You just tie it together, and then you'll kind of keep them intact. And so this is no coincidence. This is Rabbi Yehuda saying, because Rabbi Yehuda, we've already learned before, we're going to learn again. The Rabbi Yehuda's policy is that you're required to assemble the lulav with these bands and rings to what's called to be ma'aged the lulav. Lulav sort of eged. So he says, yoga denu lamal, you have to tie them together anyway. So it'll tie it, it'll hold it together. And the Mishnah says, tzinei hara barzel kesheros. So if you have these lulavim that come from some place, Iron Mountain, I don't know where that is, then they have unusual-looking lulavim, and the Mishnah says they're kosher. Lulav sheyesh bo shalosha tfachim kedei lananea bo kosher. This Mishnah, this line is telling us the shear of the lulav. Lulav that has three tfachim long in order to shake. That's kosher. So Rashi tells you over here an important point. Three tfachim long is not measured from the bottom of the lulav to the tip of the lulav. Rashi tells you over here, Mefarsh Begemara, Shalosh Tfachim Shetei HaShedra Keneged Archo Shel Hadas. Rashi says it's the Shedra. The Shedra is where all the lulavim are all clumped together, and then at a certain point, just leaves are coming off the top. So the Shedra is the part before it turns just into leaves. It's where, you get the thick part. So anyway, the Shedra has to be Gimel Tfachim, it says. The lulav itself is going to be like a sixth tefachim or so. And Rashi says that when the Mishnah says kedei lananea bo, it means because you're required to shake the lulav. There we go. We're shaking the lulav. Lananea, the lulav. Rashi says in all directions so as to... And then Rashi gives you what the kind of the imagery of nanuim are. The imagery of the nanuim are... Latzor ruchos ra'osu tulalim ra'im, Rashi says. It's in order to try to symbolically ward off the threat coming from the, moisture, humidity, weather, something. Okay, Gemara, let's take a look. The Gemara says, what's the psul of Gazul? Kapasik betani loshna b'yanta v'rishan loshna b'yanta sheni. The Mishnah just says categorically that if the lulav is Gazul, it's psul. Doesn't make any distinctions about which day we're talking about. It's just across the board. And the Gemara says, well, that's just what it seems. Kapasik v'tani, loshna b'yanta rishon, loshna b'yanta sheni. It's a categorical psul. Now, incidentally, what does the Gemara say? It says, doesn't matter whether it's the first day, the first yantif, or the second yantif. What is the second yantif? What is it talking about? So that's a strange expression. I've never gotten any good understanding of why the Gemara calls the rest of Sukkos, the Chol HaMoed Sukkos, yantif sheni. Don't know what to do. But anyway, when it says Yantav Sheni, it means Chol HaMoed, the rest of Sukkos. And it says that the stolen lulav would be pasul all Sukkos long. Now the Gemara says, Vishlama Yavesh. Yavesh, I understand why it's pasul all Sukkos long. Because Hadar Ba'inam, because you require Dalet Minim of Hadar, which is learned from the Esrog, Veleka, and you don't have Hadar if it's all dried up. Ela Gazul, but if you're talking about a perfectly fine lulav, just that it's stolen, bishlama yantaf rishon, I understand why it's pasul on the first day. Dichsiv, Because the pasuk says, "Ulakachtem lachem bayom harishon," that you have to take the albinim lachem on the first day. Mishal lachem, that you have to own it. So if it's stolen, you don't own it. Who does own it? Who does own the lulav when it's stolen? Well, if you're the thief, so then it belongs to the original owner, right? So you don't own it just because you steal it. It belongs to the original owner. It's so that's not lachem. So it's not yours. Is there anything that you can do to own a stolen item? Is there anything you can do to stolen merchandise to become the owner, the title holder of the merchandise? Yeah, she knew him after Yush. So this is the point. If something is stolen, you're not allowed to steal. Let's be clear. This is not what you're allowed to do. This is just status of the object. Status of the object. So if it's stolen,
it doesn't say from where.
Okay, so it says if you have a stolen object, it still belongs to the original owner. If he has yish, after you've stolen it, so then you might already have title, even just by yish kadi, just by yish alone. That might be sufficient. That's going to be a bit of a question the Gemara is going to have. And if not, so then some other kind of a change, plus the yish, on a stolen object, might be sufficient to transfer title to the new possessor of the stolen object, in which case it will be lachem, actually. You would actually be the owner of it. Now, no matter what, it doesn't release you from the requirement to pay for the stolen. You have to pay for theft. You're never going to be released for that, no matter what you do. You have to pay the owner. But normally, you have to return the item, not just pay. You can't steal and then pay. That's chamas. That's his past parsha. It was all about the destruction of the world for chamas. But the theft always requires that you pay for it and return it to the owner, who's the owner. But if you become the owner, so then you don't have to return it, you just have to pay for it. So in this case, this is going to be a kind of a technical consideration throughout this next step. That's why I emphasized it over here. So here's what the Gemara is saying. On the first day, you steal a lulav, you're not the owner of the lulav. Of course, it's not going to be kosher for the first day because it's not yours. But the rest of Sukkot, you don't have to own it. You can use someone else's lulav. So on this rest of Sukkot, I'm using someone else's lulav that I stole. And it says that it's pasul. What's wrong? That's the question. The question is, what's the pasul? The Gemara says, Amai lo amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora, is explaining the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Mishnah, the Havilei Bitzvah, Abba, Abba, Aveira. Because you're doing your mitzvah of Dalet Minim, Abba, Abba, Aveira. Coming through an Aveira. Shenemar, so this is going to give you the source for the psul of Mitzvah Bav Aveira. Rashi tells you on the top line that you see from this psukim that you're not allowed to do a Mitzvah Bav Aveira. But that's a very soft way of talking about Mitzvah Bav Aveira, to say that you're not allowed to. Really what it means is, and it's going to be clear in the Gemara, and Rashi is also going to make this point in a couple of lines, it means it's pasul. If you try to do a mitzvah b'aveira, it just won't count. It doesn't count. Mitzvah b'aveira doesn't count. Ain't a mitzvah, as the Rambam writes here in the opening line of the Mishnah Mishnah. Mitzvah b'aveira ain't a mitzvah. It doesn't count. So that's what we need to see over here. So Mishum, the Havali mitzvah b'aveira, the Gemara says, Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Malachi. Malachi is criticizing the people for their irreverence regarding the Karbanos and how they bring to the Mizbeach things that are all inappropriate things. The Vahavesem Gazul, you bring stolen animals as a korban, as a gift to me, and Piseach, and Balmum, Sachola, right, the sick animal, that's not Mufchar. Anyway, and so what is the connection between all these things? Gazul, Dumya de Piseach. Ma Piseach, Leslay Tekanta, Af Gazul, Leslay Tekanta. So the point that the Chazal are getting out of this is that just like a balmum is pasul permanently, less like tekanta, it's a psul permanently, it's a permanent psul. Af gazul is a permanent psul. Once it's stolen and it's pasul, it can't be rectified. Now, what kind of rectification would we be referring to here? So the Gemara goes on to explain. It doesn't matter whether the owner does or doesn't have yish. You can't bring the stolen item as the korban, that's going to be a psul. We're categorizing, we're kind of generalizing to other mitzvahs, not just korbanos. Mitzvah will be ba ba vera. Bishlama lifnei yush. Before yush, I could see why you can't, why it's puzzle. This is all part of the limud. The Gemara is explaining. Bishlama lifnei yush. Before yush, I understand why the korban would be puzzle. Because why? Adam ki yakri mikem, amar rachmana. The puzzle beginning of Vayikra says that when a person brings a korban mikem, amar rachmana, like the Torah says, bilav didehu, it has to be yours. When you bring a korban, you have to own it. That's generally speaking the main principle when it comes to korbanos. The korban is offered by the owner of the korban. That's what it means. The offerer of the korban means he owns it. So if you don't own it, so you can't bring the korban. Now we understand. Bilav didehu. Tosa has a whole other problem about why is this the pasuk that's being quoted over here about that you have to own it. Adam hiakri mikem. There's another pasuk. It says korbano. Hikrives korbano. Velo hagazel. Anyway. Ella
Liachar Yush. Is there a time frame for, I know about different objects for Yush? When
well, Yush is supposed to be, it's supposed to be an actual event. It's not supposed to be, you know, just a label. It's supposed to be actually where the owner does the act of despair. Then he actually says, oh, well, I guess I'm not getting it back. Then the Gemara just goes through, can we presume that the owner is despairing of it in certain cases? And that's where you get the possibility, maybe over time, there's a presumption of Yush rather than actual, but it's a presumption that he's going to have actual Yush by that time. Officially, no. When it comes to thefts, see, we're all familiar with the notion of Yush because we learn Eilu Metzias, and it's about lost objects. So somebody loses a thing, that leads to the discussion about Yush. When the finder finds it after Yush, then you keep it. Right, Yush alone is enough for lost objects, and you find it after Yush. But for theft, for Gezel, it's a different concept. You steal like the object, so automatically it's pre-Yush when you steal it. And then it's Yush afterwards. Lost objects, Yush afterwards never comes to anything. Yush afterwards, you always have to give it back. But for theft, Yush is always afterwards. So the presumption of Yush when it comes to theft... We're going to see that the Gemara has this principle that, generally speaking, the theft is done in such a way that the victim despairs pretty quickly of ever getting it back. It's not about time. It's just about circumstances.
And the reason why I was asking particularly about this case here is because you're talking about a seven-day window. So theoretically, someone could be miayish for day three, day four, but I really hope I get it back. And because after 7 days, it doesn't matter when the chag is over.
Yeah, I'm not sure hope I get it back is the same as expect to get it back or anticipate getting it back. But we're talking about that you stole it, you know, a month before Sukkot. I mean, we're not running into the problem of did enough time elapse for the person to be aware that it was stolen and therefore have like the Yishlami Das issue. It's just talking about clean principles. The theft happened. And there may or may not have been Yush, and if there has not yet been Yush, there's nothing to talk about. But if there has been Yush, then the principle ordinarily be, and the point of this Gemara is it's assuming, like I said earlier, that Yush Kedi is Kani for a Goslin. That if you steal the thing and the owner has Yush, then you become the title holder of the object, and you just owe the amount of the worth of the thing and to pay the victim. So now, if that's the case... So look what it says here. Ela liachar yush, hakanye biyush. So after yush, why is the pasuk describing like a psul of a stolen korban? Even after yush, it shouldn't be pasul. It should be yours. You own it. You own it at that point. Again, this is not a prescription of what you're allowed to do. This is only just a question of status. So ela lav. So what do you see? It must be Misham the Havali Mitzvah Baba Veira, and that's what the Pasuk is saying. It's saying that a Mitzvah Baba Veira is possible, won't count, even if another consideration, like you do own it and you're the title holder, but it doesn't matter, it's still going to be a possible because the Mitzvah Baba Veira. Incidentally,
that would mean that if you steal money and use that stolen money to buy it, still some mitzvah above Avera.
If
you bought the escrow, you know, you paid for it, but you paid for it with stolen money, so that would mean that it might also be considered.
We're going to get to that issue on the bottom of the page. So it's coming up. We still have more, some more of the ins and outs of mitzvah above Avera down here. But the way mitzvah above Avera is used, if you look around, the way it's used, it doesn't seem to be as general as we would figure just from the way the wording of mitzvah above Avera sounds like any Avera that leads to any mitzvah is going to not count. The mitzvah is not going to count. But you discover that really mitzvah above Avera applies to two specific Averos only. It only applies to Gezel and Avodah Zarah. You don't really find other Averos leading to a problem of mitzvah above Avera. So if you see the problem is like how do we visualize mitzvah above Avera? I did an Avera and that enabled me to do the mitzvah. That's like the conventional way. Yeah, I did an Avera that enables me now I have the wherewithal to do this mitzvah. So I'll do the mitzvah even though I needed to do an Avera. Yeah, great example. Yeah, Mechal Shabbos, and that enabled me to do some kind of a mitzvah, something like that. The Gemara doesn't have that. That's not considered mitzvah of Avera at all. The Yerushalmi is explicit about that, and the Gemara just says, there's not a mitzvah of Avera. The guy is Val Avera, and he did a mitzvah, so what's the problem? It's like it doesn't even try to reconcile mitzvah of Avera where it doesn't apply, where the mitzvah does not count, to regular cases of averos that lead to people doing mitzvos. And so that's why I'm saying, generally speaking, we talk about theft and avodah zarah, where the actual object that you're using has some kind of a status of avera. Like it is an object of avera. As opposed to mechal Shabbos, what's the object of avera that I did when I drove to shul? Me? The car? The shul? Like what exactly is the thing that's going to be that disqualify the kiyum mitzvah? That's just like basics of mitzvah above Avera. So now the Gemara goes on to say a little bit of an agada. Maybe some of you can help me understand this, which I don't really get. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishmer Rishim Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan here quoting Rishim Bar Yochai. So it's quoted here because we just heard Rabbi Yochanan telling us in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai before the mitzvah above Avera argument. And now we're getting a little bit of an agadic mashal of the same kind of concept. May dechsiv ki anei Hashem ohev mishpat, so ne gezel ba'ola. The Pasuk in Yeshua says, I, Hashem, I love justice, and I hate theft ba'ola, in korbanos, that you're going to give me. So what does that Pasuk mean? May dechsiv the Pasuk. Masha lemelech basar v'dam. Mashal the Melech Basar V'Dam. So there's a mashal to this attitude that the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is describing. Let's say a mashal to a king, a human king. Shahaya Over al Beis HaMeches, and he was going past the toll booth, and Amar Li Avdo, Tenu Meches Lemuchasim. And he tells his slave, pay the toll. Amru Lo. So they said to the Melech, hello, kol ha-meches kulo shelcha. What do you think they do with the toll? They give it to you. So what are you doing? What are you going through this silly, paying the toll? You're just keeping the money anyway. Amar lahem. So the Melech says to them, mimene yilmedu kol ovrei jirachim velo yavrichu atzman min ha-meches. I just want them to see that I'm paying the toll, so everybody will also follow suit and pay the toll. I guess if they saw me not paying the toll, they might think, well, that guy in front of me in the royal carriage over there didn't pay his toll, so I don't have to, why are you making me pay my toll? But I guess if that's how people are thinking. So that's why the king says, just pay the toll, so everybody will see that's what you have to do. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar, so now what's the nimshal? So Hashem says, yes, I own everything in the world, I know. And so anything that you steal and give to me as a korban, it was mine anyway. But I don't want you to steal to give me the korban for some reason. So that's the thing. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Ani Hashem Sone Gezel Ba'ola Mimeni. So from my policy, Yilmedu B'nei Banai V'Yavrichu Atzman Min HaGezel. So then they won't steal from each other. Okay, I don't really get it. I don't get exactly what this mashal is doing. By saying I don't accept theft, so then people are not going to steal from each other and keep it? I don't exactly get it. I'm not sure exactly what was the... Anyway, whatever. But the limud is still clear that Hashem is saying, I don't accept stolen merchandise or property as for a korban. And we're now generalizing, the Gemara is saying, we're generalizing to other mitzvahs as well. We saw mitzvah b'av aveira already this mesechta on daf tes. Right? I think we saw that on daf tes. Question of the sukkah gezula, yeah. And we're going to get a little bit of that in the next daf also. Okay. Itmar Nami. Now the Amoraim here are saying also to confirm what we just saw from Rabbi Yochanan about mitzvah b'aveira is going on. Amar Rabbi Ami, Yavesh is possible b'nei she'eino hadar. Yavesh is possible because it's not hadar. It has to be hadar, even though Esrog says pre-eats hadar. And the other meaning, it doesn't say hadar, but we're learning they all have the same requirement of hadar. Gazul, though, is possible mishum d'havelei mitzvah b'aveira. Right? Straightforward. Okay. Now, interestingly, it sounds pretty straightforward, but then the Gemara says, Upliga de Rabbi Yitzchak. And this is against Rabbi Yitzchak. This argues with Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak the Amora. The Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. Now, wait a second. Can Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, who's an Amora, what, can he argue with any of this here? Well, yes. He has to accept what the Mishnah says, but the Gemara's Mitzvah B'Avera analysis was an Amora. That was Rabbi Yochanan. Quote, yeah, he's quoting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's true. But Rabbi Yochanan was the one who's saying this. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel, again Amora, Lo Shanu Ela B'Yom Tov Rishon. When the Mishnah says that the Zub's full of Gazul, it's only the first day. Avel B'Yom Tov Sheni, again using this Yom Tov Sheni expression for Chol HaMoed, the rest of Sukkos, Mitov Sheyotzi B'Shol, Yotzi Nami B'Gazul. Just like you don't need to own it, the rest of Sukkos, so it doesn't matter if it's stolen. Amazing. So this Amora is saying that the Mishnah says Lulav HaGazal VaYavish is pasul, Yavish is pasul all Sukkos long, but Gazal is only pasul on the first day. The rest of Sukkos stolen is okay. Again, not okay to do it. It's okay meaning you'd be Yotze with the Lulav. So Masiv Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, the Amora, is saying to him, what are you talking about? Look at the Mishnah carefully. Look carefully at the Mishnah. Lulav HaGazal VaYavish pasul. If the lulav is stolen or dry, it's pasul. Hashaul kosher. So clearly the implication is, but what if you just borrowed it? What if you borrowed it? It's presumably kosher. Why'd you have to give me such an extreme example of gazul? Obviously that means that if you come into possession of it other ways, other than stealing, like such as you borrow it from somebody else who's happy to lend it to you, that would be kosher. So Amos, so hold on a second. When could that possibly be the rule? Elaim Abiyat Rishon. On the first day, that's not true. Haksiv Lachem, Yishel Lachem. V'hai Lavdi Day. So then this was not going to be this person's own lulav. Elalav. So what do you see? The Mishnah must be, by emphasizing Gazul, it must be referring not to the first day, but to the rest of the Sukkos. Elalav Abiyat Sheni, the rest of Sukkos. V'gatani. What does it say in the Mishnah? Gazul is Basul. So the point is like this. The fact, this is that the Amora is inferring from the Mishnah, why did he give a case of Gazul? If the thing is all about owning it yourself, give me this simple case without getting into any crime. Just say, you know, you have to own it, but if it's someone else's, you know, Yotze. So it must be that we're not talking about that issue. The issue of the first day's own unique requirement of owning it, that's not what's going on. This Mishnah is giving me a psul across the board. And it says Gazul across the board. That's why it doesn't mention Shaul. Shaul is kosher across the board, except the first day, because of the additional requirement of owning. So the Amora, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, felt that he demonstrated by close reading of this Mishnah that you can't accept Gazul for the rest of Sukkos, and it must be because of Mitzvah B'Avira. So look what it says. Amar Rava, or somebody, Ravashi, or somebody who's going to defend Rav Yitzchak's opinion. Maybe not. Maybe that's the wrong inference. Le'olam B'Yom Tov Rishon. No, maybe the Mishnah is really only talking about the first day of Sukkos. And it is dealing with that unique rule about owning the Dalabinim. The Lomi Boy Kamar. And it didn't mean to say you can't use a stolen, but any other type of lulav that you have that doesn't belong to you is kosher. No, that's not the inference. Velomi boy kamar. No, it meant to say even stolen you can't use. What? Like this. Lomi boy shaul delavdi dehu. Meaning, of course you can't use a shaul. Shaul meaning it's a borrowed lulav that you don't own, and somebody else owns. They're just letting you use it. You can't do that on the first day, obviously, because it's not yours. Aval gazul. But if you stole it, remember we were talking about how when you steal a thing, sometimes you actually do become the owner after yish. So you would actually imagine that you should be yotze because it's yours. Ema stam gezela yish bailimo. So maybe I would have said that normally a gazel, and we're all familiar, you know, from when we were younger in school, that theft happens in different ways. There's the overt theft of the, you know, the brazen gazlan, and then there's the covert burglary of the person who does the gneva. So there's gneva and gzela, right? So this is gezel. That means a person literally confronted you, took it, and left, and you could do nothing. You were helpless about it. In which case, that's the attitude, it seems to be, stam gzela yishbailim. Stam gzela yishbailim is that you really don't think that there's any chance that you're going to be able to, if the guy is doing such a thing like this, overtly, then you're unlikely to get it back. So if that's the attitude that people have, and therefore if that's what happened, so then the gazlan right away, he steals it, and then there's Yish right away. So the gazlan now has title. Of course, again, the gazlan has to pay for what he stole, and he's not permitted to do it. But he would have title. If that's the case, I would argue he'd be Yotze on the first day. And that's where the Mishnah says, no, it's not true. Kamash Malan, that you're not Yotze with such a lulav gazul, but only on the first day, only because of the issue that you need to own it. And so, look at Rashi. Kamash Malan, the ad, the shamayinah, the ayayish, lokani le de memar, amar hashtahu, the takif minoy, lamachar tafsi, tafsina le bedina, which is Kamash Malan, that he might not have yush. In other words, the calculation is a relatively good one, but he might not have yish. In which case, if he didn't have yish, then you wouldn't be the owner. That's what it's saying, that it's puzzle. So we haven't been able to prove from the Mishnah that this Mishnah is talking about a psul of gazel mitzvah baba veira. Maybe there is no such psul. Okay, interesting. We happen to hold there is a principle of mitzvah b'avera, and it will not count against Rav Yitzchak. Amar lehu Rav Huna lehanu avankari. Okay, so a new story here. Rav Huna the Amora told these avankari are people who are essentially doing the job of, selling the dalad minim. I don't know, dalad minim merchants. So Rav Huna is talking to the dalad minim merchants, and he's saying to them, Kizav nisu asa mi'akum, when you buy the asa is the hosha, is the arav, is the hadasim, So when you're buying hadasim, which again is subject to the same restriction of gazul, is no good because you have to, it can't be mitzvah baba veira. So it says Rav Huna is telling these avankari, when you buy the hadasim from the akum, so the akum are the sellers, the providers of the hadasim, right? They have the land, I guess, the hadasim farms or whatever. Lo tegazezu atun. You don't tear off, don't cut off those hadasim from the bush. Don't cut the hadasim off the bush. Elalig gazezuha inhu. Let them do the cutting off, and then they'll hand you the already cut off hadasim. The yahavu lechu, and they'll give you the already cut off hadasim. That was the instructions Rav Huna gave to the avankari. He tells them, you know, when you go to the akum, who's going to be providing you all the hadasim, let them do the cutting off from the bush, not you. Why? My taima. Stam of the kochavim gazlana yarasan inhu. Probably, you're buying from a goy, and the goyim have a reputation at that time of being gazlanim, gazlana yarasa, of stealing the land, meaning they weren't the ones who actually own the land that they're selling you the hadasim from. Either for whatever the reason is, they're not makbid, or they are overt gazlanim, or whatever the reason, you have to presume that it's likely that these hadassim are growing on stolen land. That's the premise. Rashi makes an unusual comment, very unusual comment actually, here at the bottom line. Rashi says, stolen land, gazlani ara meyisra, and they're stealing from Jews. So that's interesting. Not that, I mean, why should it matter? If it's stolen from one guy from another, should make it the same as a very problem. But Rashi makes that comment. He has that gears in the Gemara. It says, Tam akum gazlani arsa meyisrael ninu. Okay. Well, he doesn't care about that. He cares about the theft, the fact that they are being, well, you see, because the Avodah Zarah is not going to help for the next line. So if that's the case, then why did he tell them to let them cut it off? How does that solve the problem? It's still stolen. The karka ain't an exelus. Karka cannot be stolen. Okay, that means, that's a halachic principle. Like as Rashi says, klomer eina kinuya legazlin bishum yush. Meaning, karka, when you steal karka, it's not the same as stealing objects, right? Mithaltalin. If you steal an object, so then, in a certain sense, you really can't learn this and make sense of it without using some of this lumdish terminology. You have to have kinyane gazeli. You have to have a certain title. You have to have a certain kinyan that which you get by stealing, which is a very limited kinyan. It doesn't give you any rights or anything. It's just kinyane gazela, such that. And then there are a couple of consequences of kinyan gzela. Simplest example of having kinyan gzela is that when you give it back, he can't charge you for rent or for use of the thing. In other words, if you let's say use somebody else's stuff, he can charge you for use. But if you steal it, I have kinyan gzela, so then in a certain sense, it's like yours. You're using your own thing, and so even though you're required to give it back because it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the other person, but he doesn't have a right to charge you. Rent, that's true about metaldolin, but there's no such thing for karka. Karka ain't an exilus. You don't get any kinyan exela when it's karka. And therefore, he would be allowed to charge you the use, the schiris. But the second consequence of kinyan exela is that if something subsequently happens, such as yush, or such as yush plus some other transformation, so then you would become the full title holder, but not for karka. It doesn't work for karka. Karka ain't an exelus. It's not an observation. It's a halachic principle. Karka is not subject to kinyan gzela. So even if you, let's say, you kick somebody out of their land and you move in, or you just kind of sneakily do asagas gvul and you just relocate the boundary and they doesn't even realize that now you just kind of took over a certain land, you never get kinyan gzela of that property. And it still belongs to the other person, and Yush is not going to have any effect on that land, unlike Metaltilin, unlike other property. So look what the difference is. He tells like this. Since Karka ain't an exeles.
Does that only apply to land only specifically, or real estate, real property?
Real estate also. The land and the stuff attached to the land, like the home, like your home, and the trees and the fields and all these kinds of things also. So the Gemara says here, Hilka, so now look at the analysis. Ligzazua inhu, let the goy cut off the hadasim from the bush. Kihechi, such that, the lihevi yiush, ba'alim, biyadai hu didhu. So that when they are cutting it, whoever the true owner is, whoever that is not going to be, is going to have yiush. The yiush will happen on the, after the ganav, who is the one who's pretending to be, is acting to be like the owner, is selling you the hadasim. So he cuts it off. There's, now it's metaltalin, and therefore he, that guy, is the ganav. Then there's yush. Vishinui rishus. So this is assuming that the yush kadi is not alone, is not sufficient for you to become the title holder. And you need also shinui rishus. Shinui rishus means after. That here you have a gazlan, the gazlan, and then the owner has yush. The gazlan does not yet have full possession because it was just yush. Then he gives it to somebody else or sells it to somebody else, transfers it to somebody else. That person is the full owner, full title holder. That was a yush There was a gazlan, a yish, and a shinir yishus. That means it belonged, now it was transferred to some other person. That other person is now the full title holder of that object. That only works for objects, not for karka.
It's okay to buy stolen goods.
Well, again, it's not about okay, it's a status. So at that point, that person does not have to return it knowing that it's stolen. It does not have to return the object. He can keep the object as is. He owns the object. Yeah, to an extent, it leads to buying the stolen goods. It would not be considered theft as far as whether you could do it for other reasons, such as encouraging, you know, criminal activity. That's a different kind of a thing. But this seems to be like that, which is, you have to see. The Rishonim try to kind of work around that concern. Like, why isn't he saying you can't be in business with these people because you're buying stolen goods? No, it's not obvious, and it's not clear, and it's not necessarily so, and we're not sure that it's all stolen. But he's saying we have to acknowledge that possibility. So this is a simple solution to deal with that possibility, at least with respect to the psul of Dalad Minim. So it says here, okay, so that these people that you're the distributors, the owners, the people who are saying that they are the owners of the property are going to cut off the brand, the hadassim, for you. And then, even if they're not the owners of the property, in fact, it just gazlanim of the property, but there's going to be a presumed yush with shina rishus once it gets into your possession. And therefore, no problem, because you had yush and just, the title owner says, there's no concern of guzzle anymore. That's why he advised them to do this. The Gemara says, well, hold on, who needed that? Sof, who needed that? Sof, even if that didn't happen, let's say. Kigazizu avankari, let's say that wasn't what happened. Let's say the avankaris themselves were cutting off all the hadassim branches on their own. So still, there's no problem at that point. Why? Lehevi yush bailin biyadaihu. So let's say there's going to be, whoever the original actual owner is will have yush. And the avankaris are now in possession of the gezel after yush. And when they sell it to me, I'm going to be the full title owner. So what do I have to care? Like, what did Rav Huna think it mattered if the avankaris are the ones cutting it off, or the avankaris are getting it from the guys cutting it off? The Gemara says, well, that's true as far as the customers go, but what about the avankaris themselves? They're Jewish. They're going to have to keep Dalad Minim. And so when it is instructions that he gave to the avankaris were for their own use. Lo tzricha de behoshana de avankari gufayu. So it was only these merchants themselves that he was trying to help them out by advising them, at least for their own purposes, for their own hoshanos, make sure they're not the ones cutting it off the bushes.
So the second, this one is now referring to the avankari being
Jewish avankari. So now the Gemara asks, well, hang on a second here. Once we're talking about, you know, the technical rules of gezel and when title transfers and everything, why don't we say that no matter what, everybody's okay because let's say you have the stolen object and it's after yush, but you do some other transformation of the object, a different shinui, and this is not really the main sugya for all of these things. These are all coming out of Ovakam. But let's say you do some other shinui ma'aseh. Ashinui masa means some physical transformation in the object. Namely, what? So, well, Rashi kind of explains that what's going on here in the Gemara is the shinui masa is the eged, the fact that you're tying the minim together into a different object called a dalet minim, or a gimel minim bundle. Okay, so that was a very slight shinui, but nevertheless, we're calling that a shinui masa for purposes of kinyan. The Gemara answers, kasavar lulavain tzarech eged. Well, we're holding that lulavain tzarech eged. He could have answered that that's not enough of a shinui masa, but he actually gives us a different answer, which is that you don't need to make the eged, and therefore you can't rely on that, and therefore it's not going to count as a shinui. Just because you chose to tie them together doesn't make it a shinui. Gemara says, well, imtim tzilomer lulav tzarech eged. Well, or the Gemara says, well, here's another solution. Here's another reason why that won't work. Why that won't be the solution. Why? Because let's even say you do hold that lulav tzarech eged, like Rabbi Yehuda holds. So lulav tzarech eged, let's say. But that whole shino, all that shino you involved was just tying the lulav together with the hadasim and the aravos into a bundle, even if it was required, and therefore now you have a kosher gimel minim bundle. But so what? You could always just cut the ties. It's a shino hechazer lebriyasohu. Shino hechazer lebriyasohu lo shmei shinoi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that doesn't count as a shinui maisa. In other words, we're accepting the principle that if you had done a shinui maisa, you would actually, you know, be the full title owner of the stolen object, but that doesn't, you didn't do enough of a shinui just by bundling it. So that's why the solution was a shinui rishus, the shinui rishus. So the Gemara is saying, actually, it's true, that if the Avankari Jewish people cut off the hadassim from the bush and they gave it to you, the customer, then you would have no problem. That would be kosher. That would be kosher, and it would not be considered guzul to pasul the dalet minim. But the Avankari themselves would not be yotze if it really were stolen, even after yush. And so therefore, you have to have the guy do the cutting off, and then they transfer it to you as a metaltalin, because then the yush counts, and then shinui rishus counts. Okay. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, what about a different kind of transformation? Well, maybe you should be able to be kona just simply by snipping it off, that already transforms the object. So even if the snipping off happens by the goslin, but that should count as a shinui. So you have a theft, which is what? Which is the avankari cutting off the hadasa from the bush, and then there's a presumed yush balim, and then it's a transformation based on Shinu Hashem. What is the Shinu Hashem transformation? The Meikara, originally Havaleyasa. Originally, it was a asa, and asa is a myrtle branch, a myrtle branch. The Hashta Hoshana, Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, the Hashta Hoshana, now we're calling it a Hoshana. Now you're selling it and marking up the price and everything, and now it's an official Hoshana. So presumably, even though that doesn't really transform at all, it's just simply a question of the name people refer to it by. But that's enough. That's enough to have a transformation. It's transformed its label, its name. My answer is, well, that would be true if that were universal. But Meikara Nami Liasa Hoshana Karale. But the reality is that people are already calling these myrtle branches Hoshanas, even while they're still growing. Just because we know that you look at the thing, you look, wow, there's like a bush of Hoshanas. And so, well, we call what we call Hadasim. And so that's why it doesn't count as a Shinui Hashem, but if it were a Shinui Hashem, it would count. So there you go. So that's the end of this whole story. So that was the Avankari Halacha, which helped give a little bit of a kind of technical refinement to the principle of Mitzvah Bavayir with respect to stolen objects here as they pertain to the Dalet Minim. All right, let's stop here.